Father, we worship you and we thank you for this opportunity to look into the mind of Christ. And I appreciate everyone that is here. And I'm asking you to open our hearts. I'm asking you to teach us by the power of the Holy Ghost. All wisdom comes from you. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Solomon, when he was teaching us, by the way, I don't know how many of you got into Proverbs this week, but there's good. Amen. There's just a wealth of knowledge there, and 31 chapters, one for every day. And if you really want to prosper, read Proverbs. It'll teach you. The weeks go by. Life goes on. And I'm not even going to ask who's, if you didn't have a budget, who's already started one. I don't get any laughs out of that. But the weeks go by and time goes on, and so it's important for us to apply what we hear. I don't want to say this. I really don't even want it to be a slant. I just want it to be an affirmation of where you're at and how important it is. If you want revival, you have to go after a revival. Okay, that's just, we all would agree on that. If you want, if you're an athlete, we have a track star at one time, a D1 football player. You go around the room, whatever. Another D1 football player in the back. Whatever you achieve, you have to go after it. You really do have to go after it. Even a prophecy given to you doesn't mean that prophecy will come to pass. A prophecy is predicated on you doing and continuing to do everything that is substantial to wisdom and integrity. So I want to pat all of you on the back and say thank you and really mean it for being here, and not to demean anybody that couldn't be here. Other people have responsibilities. Maybe they're out of town, on and on and on. I don't even want to imagine because I don't want to cast a shadow. I just want to say this. You can't say you want something and then not go after it. You can't ever tell somebody, boy, I'd really like to get out of debt. I'd really like to prosper. Well, then if you say that, then the next thing is to do something about it. And it's not just asking God. We started this off, let's read Proverbs chapter 1, just that one verse. Chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So a wise man or woman will hear and will attain, will increase. It always does. I'll tell you, when I see people that are prosperous attend a meeting like this, I salute them and I say that's the epitome of wisdom. That if you know anybody that's ever prosperous and they attend meetings like this, because prosperity only breeds prosperity, and the way a man or woman thinks, that's what brought them to prosperity is wisdom thinking. So they love wisdom, so they don't scorn it. A scorner is like, I've got, so I don't have to listen. And so I'm not saying there's scorners that are not here. I'm just saying that to have anything, you have to go after it, spiritually speaking, or in prosperity, any of the above. These meetings are not meant to undermine faith. We are children of faith. I'm living by faith. My present paycheck comes in on giving, and I'm only using this as an example, not to put a burden on you. If it doesn't come in through the offerings, if it doesn't come from someplace else, then I have to believe. So what I'm saying that is, I'm in a situation like many of you around the room. I haven't arrived at self-wealth yet. So I'm not trying to undermine faith. And no matter where you're at, you'll always have to, you should live by faith. You should continually live by faith. But as I said this morning in an advertisement to a lot of people, I said, look, you really, whether or not, I'm not saying that all of you should become millionaires. That's not what this is about. But I do believe, by the Word of God, you should become self-sufficient, out of debt, and come to a place in your old age where Social Security is just an icing on the cake. And if Social Security runs out, you'll still have more than enough. I really had great parents. My dad was home all the time. My mom and dad are still married, going on 55 years or whatever. They're really wonderful people. Just great. My dad really taught me a lot about being a man, keeping my word, and just he was a good father. But he did not, and they'll never listen to this, and I wouldn't hurt their feelings for a thing for $1 million. They did not know how to handle money. They did not know how to, and they did not know how to teach me anything that I've learned through self-education, watching other people, and reading, and the Holy Spirit, of course. He is the teacher. And if you read Proverbs, Solomon keeps continually referring to her wisdom. So you ladies, you got a good, Solomon refers to wisdom as she or as her. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost, you know, so we know him as we talk like he's in the male masculine, and he is throughout the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit is wisdom. He's the one that brings forth wisdom. And Solomon says, call wisdom your sister, and understanding your kinswoman. The word kinswoman could be cousin or close kin. Are all of you okay? Are any of you warm? Are you just right? Because I want you to feel comfortable, okay? So if you're not, turn to Marty, and Marty will take care of it. So wisdom is chief. Wisdom is a chief, and it'll teach us. Now, my parents, they're at a point in their life. We'll make sure that they have enough. But they're basically just living on the edge. They're living on Social Security with no savings. And here's the thing. Somebody might say, well, you got the best because you had a dad and they loved you. Yes, I did. I got the best. But if I had a choice between parents that loved you and taught you morals and those that were, the dad that never came home, never took me fishing, never, and I never saw him, and I just grew up on my own, I would rather have by far the one I've got, by far. But that shouldn't have to be a choice. You should be able to have both. And the Bible says that a good man lays up wealth for his children's children. In other words, and I know people say, well, that wealth is spiritual. That's exactly right. What I'm giving best to my kids is a spiritual inheritance. But in the context, and we'll actually go to that verse, in the context is you should die having money to pass along to the next generation and have them pass it on to the next generation. And you should have taught that the ones that are coming up under you, your children and your grandchildren, how to handle it so that it's not squandered. And the best that they can do, and it's all right for them to have nice things, but the best they can do is to be people that are givers and finance God's ministry and those good things like that. Well, wealth is determined by a lot of different ways, and I know we can spiritualize it. And I don't, these meetings are kind of like not to demean. Y'all know how spiritual we try to be around here in a good sense. Everything's based on the Word, and everything's based on praying in tongues. But people can over-spiritualize things. They can just over-spiritualize it. And they're not, when I say overly spiritualizing it, they're not spiritualizing it correctly. In other words, you can't sit at home and prosper. You got to work. And you can't prosper beyond that if all you'll ever have is just a daytime job. I mean, if you go to the independents like I'm talking about, you're 9 to 5, will feed you, put a roof over your head, and clothes on your back. But it'll very seldom, unless you have a really, really good job, it'll very seldom allow you to put away savings. And folks, the bottom line, the real simple thing is, it's not what you make, it's what you save. It's what you save and what becomes your assets. And the more assets that you can create and put them into creating more wealth for you, the better off that you'll be, and you'll live independent when you get old. And somebody won't have to take care of you. And that's the best thing. That's really the best thing. Wealth is, does anybody need notepads? We got notes up here. If anybody needs, okay. Wealth is determined by a number of different ways. Now, we could spiritualize it, but I'm just going to give you a real practical definition. Riches or wealth is basically how many, if you, let me say it like this, I haven't coined this exactly correct yet, but if you stop getting paychecks today, how long could you go without not eating or without your bills not being paid? In other words, how much do you have over and beyond that is stored up that if today was your last paycheck, how many weeks could you go into the future independent on having anything else? Now, that's not just predicated on savings, but it also be predicated on created assets, things that you create that becomes tributaries into one main stream that becomes your provision. So I'm like many of you in this building. You may be thinking, my God, if I don't get paid next week, we might not be, you know. I'm not saying that. I'm not in that place. But many of you may be. You may be, I got to have next week's paycheck. That's okay right now, but that's why you're in these meetings. That's why you're here. There's two ways, really, to prosper. And well, there's a lot of different ways, but I'm going to say it like this to start with. One is becoming frugal, very frugal. Watching what you spend and how you spend it and when you spend it. I watch millionaires. I watch people that have money, unless you're, you know, like one of these superstars or an athlete and they're trying to impress and they got all the bling bling and blah, blah. And if you'll read after those guys... 5 years out of professionalism, some of them are sleeping under a bridge, you know, or flipping hamburgers. Really, that's the story. I mean, I watched a documentary on a lot of these guys making $30, $40 million a year or whatever they were making, and then because they bought this, if you don't pay for it, somebody will come and get it. The courts will come and get it. So it doesn't matter how much you make, it's how much you save. How much you're frugal with what you've got. I'm going to recommend. I said I would have a handout here for you tonight, but I thought no. I'll just read a little bit, an excerpt of something, and it'll be just kind of an example of what I'm saying. And then I'm going to recommend another book to you. And I mentioned it last week and how important that it really is. As I'm mentioning this, as I said, it's important to diminish, to increase your assets and diminish your spending. This you might just want to, because I don't know how much I'll spend time in this. I thought this was so interesting. I found it this week. It's from the Washington Post. You can all Google this afterwards. It's from the Washington Post, and it's an article recently written by Erica Johnston. And it's on how an enormous family manages to live debt-free. 13 college education, 7 bedrooms on $100,000 or less a year. And really, this guy, Sam Fatsinger, prowls the aisles of the Aldea grocery store with an engineered precision. Workers greet her mostly by name. She puts several trays of chicken into a huge cart. Then it's on to the fresh blueberries for $1.79 a pint in February. She recalls the time that the No Frills store had a sale on potatoes, 10 pounds for 99 cents. She bought 60 pounds. Her husband loves them. It shows pictures throughout. And they're a beautiful family, beautiful, beautiful family, 13 kids. Obviously, they're Catholic, okay? To get these Best Buys, beautiful, beautiful family, Christian family, to get these Best Buys, it's just watching and waiting and knowing, Sam says, every cent counts. At the cashier, her groceries fill every inch of the conveyor belt. My silent guess, the article writer, is $250 in all. The bill is $127, half of my estimate. Very impressive, but not as impressive as this. Rob and Sam Fatzinger are lifelong residents of Bowie, Maryland, lead a single income family, so he's the only working person, in one of the country's most expensive regions. Rob's income never topped $50,000 until he was 40. He's now 51 and earns just north of $100,000 as a software tester. More pictures. They have 13 children, which means they require things like a 7-bedroom house and 15-passenger van. 4 children have graduated from college. 3 are undergraduates and 6 are on the runway. Yet they have paid off their mortgage early, 4 years ago. They have no debt, never have, besides mortgages. And Rob is on track to retire at 62. The family gets the gold medal for being frugal. The family is the Einstein of economics. And see, that's what I'm saying. It's the understanding. There's two ways. You got to burn the candle at both ends. You've got to learn to be frugal, and you've got to also learn how to increase. I watch millionaires. I look at people. They'll drive the same car for 10 years. They'll wear clothes until the book that The book that I want to recommend is the one that I said last week, and I'm not endorsing everything in it, but it's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I am pleading with you. I'm asking you, if you want a general knowledge of the understanding of how finances work and how money works, buy the book. Go online, iBooks. You can do it two ways. I basically completed the book this week. Again, I'm going to read it again. Actually, I listened to it. It's 6 hour, 19 minutes long. It's going to be required reading for any future marriage counseling. You can buy it. It's $10. It's the best investment you'll make. You can listen to it or you can read it. Just listening to it, I listened to it in one day. I think I'm about 90 to 95% done. I probably got 30 minutes left. It opened my eyes again. I was like, oh, man, I'd went through some of this before. I was like, man, you forget this stuff. And the guy is, it's incredible. People say, well, I don't have 6 hours. Listen, we're talking about your future for the next 30, 40, 50 years. You know, I don't have, here's over spiritualization. I listen to the Word of God. Wait a minute, what about the hours you spend watching the news or watching a football game or any just doing other stuff? You've got the time. You've got the time. And this guy will fill you. It's just somebody will be reading to you. And it's just fantastic, the knowledge that you'll glean from it. Some of it may be more than what you'll ever use. So you might not go into the investment side that he talks about, but just the osmosis of getting that. I would say to anybody in here that wants to prosper or even get out of debt, listen to that book. It's 6 hours long. I'm going to listen to it again as soon as I. I'll probably listen to it again this week. So it's vitally important. So I'm reading about a frugal family. And he talks about it's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Well, I'm going to give part of it away, but this won't spoil all the punchlines in it. But He did have a poor dad that was highly educated. He had a master's degree, and he worked for the government. And he told him all of his life, son, you know, he would say things like this, we can't afford that. His rich dad was not his real dad or a foster dad, but his rich dad was his friend Mike, his dad. And his rich dad, because he hung around Mike as a little kid, as a little kid, he wanted to learn how, because some older kids made fun of him one time and said, you can't go to wherever we're going because we're rich and you're poor. And he was just 9 years old. And that stuck with him, and he said he wanted to become rich. He wanted to find out. Now, by the way, the word rich is not an evil word. It's not a four-letter word, okay? You can go through Proverbs, and there's riches, and it talks about enduring riches, and it's good when it's applicable in righteousness, when it's carried out in righteousness. So he wanted to find out how to be rich. Well, he went to his real dad and said, how do I become rich? And his real dad said he was highly educated. He had been to Stanford University. He had been to the University of Chicago. He had a brilliant mind. He was working for the government, and he was reading his paper, I think probably on a Saturday. He said, Dad, how do I become rich? Well, why do you want to be rich? Well, he said, these friends of mine made fun of me. And he said, we couldn't go to this outing because we're on the wrong side of the tracks. Well, at that time, his dad had not attained any wealth at all. And in fact, that particular dad, he said, died owing a lot of money. Well, his dad put down the paper for a moment, and he said, look, he said, son, to start with, he didn't answer him at all. And then later he said, you're going to have to find out how to be, you're going to have to use your head or something like that. And he said he basically gave him an answer that just said, I really don't know. You know, I don't know. And so his dad told him, he said, but you know what? If you want to find out how to be rich, ask Mike's dad. And he goes, Mike's dad? Well, Mike's dad, he asked Mike. He said, Mike, my dad said I need to ask your dad how to be rich. And so Mike, who later now is managing millions and millions of dollars, very, very rich man, they went to his dad and asked him, how do we become, and this is the rich dad. Now, the rich dad never completed the eighth grade, never went past the eighth grade. But he was a brilliant man in learning how to create wealth. The story is very interesting, how that he trained these kids and how that he did not give them a pass, but he taught them through life education. See, the thing about it is, school, I don't care if you've got a PhD, school does not train you to get wealth. It teaches you academics, but you can go to the highest levels of learning and it does not teach you how to gain wealth. Now, this guy that was didn't finish the eighth grade, when he died, he said he left tens and tens of millions to his children, and tens of millions to his church, and to other. He had plenty to give. But when Robert Kiyosaki first went over, they were growing up in Hawaii. And when he first went over to his house, he said, that man, because that man was just, he was in the progression of getting rich. You know, and the Bible tells us, and I'll give you verses here if we have time, that riches take time. It takes time. And it's really good that you millennials are starting. But there's no end to it. It doesn't matter. See, I've got enough years that I could gain enough if I do it right, that I could leave to my children, I could leave to this church and other organizations something good. The main thing I'm going to leave is a spiritual heritage. That's the main thing, and it'll always will be. But when he went over to Mike's house, it was a rundown house. He said the boards, when you walked up on the porch and walked through the front, he said the furniture was all, you know, frailed, and he had him sit out on the back porch and spoke nothing of wealth, spoke nothing. But this man, he had uh, he said, "You sit here, boys," and he said, "I'll be with you in a little bit." Well, he talks about, I don't want to give it away, but he talks about all the people that were sitting there early that morning, and he says, he was asking Mike, they're just 9 years old. He goes, "Well, what? Who are these people? Who's these two women?" Well, those two women, they run my dad's. They were sitting on just an old ugly couch, and the guy had his office in one of the bedrooms there, and the house was just sounded like just an old frame house. He said, "Those two women, they run my dad's restaurants." And he said, "Well, what about the guy that's in there talking to your dad right now?" He said, "Well, he runs the construction crew that is, or the road crew that's building a road about 50 miles away from here. He runs all those crews for my dad's other business." And he said, and before you got here early in the morning, the guy just left that is the construction manager for my dad that's building a track of houses over here." And he just went on and on and on. And so, and the guy's sitting there in an old ugly house, but he's on his way to eventually over the next 20 or 30 years becoming, you know, $50, $100, $200 million, who knows, just gaining wealth. So the beginning is a frugalness. And so Rob's philosophy, spend money on what makes you, these days, frugality is not about clipping coupons. It's about thinking your finances may be your life. Rob's philosophy, spend money on what makes you truly happy and on what you enjoy. The thing that people need to understand is this, that we don't feel deprived or poor. We pick and choose carefully. The Fratzingers are getting it done. Could you? The Fratzingers... the frugalness is hardly new. In 1789, George Washington wrote the Marquise de la Fayette, the French military officer fought for the American Revolution. "Nothing but harmony," this is a quote, "nothing but harmony, industries, and frugality are necessary to make us a great and happy people." And we were a frugal people well into the 20th century. Then came the era of instant credit, rapid consumerization, and record personal bankruptcies. Listen, if you got a credit card and you are past 30 days, I'm not condemning, and you're just paying minimal payment, let's say it's $3,000. It'll take you 4 years, 4 years to pay that off. Credit cards are wonderful if you have the discipline to use them. Otherwise, well, we're going to talk about the Pac-Man principle in just a minute, how to get out of all that, because I don't know that that's what this guy termed it, but this is what I call it. This is how I think about it. But... these people that learn how to be frugal, recently it says being frugal has been gotten a boost thanks to hundreds of personal finance bloggers, and no thanks at all to the Great Recession of 2007 to 2009. Remember, I told you it started in 2007. Many focus on FIRE and the acronyms of financial independency and retire early. Aspirants often strive to save at least 25% of their take-home pay over the years, and even twice that or more to feel financially secure or pursue a new career. Others yearn to quit their jobs for a long haul, even into their 30s. One leading blogger grew up on food stamps. Others learn about money from their parents. For good or ill, the best are innovative, funny, and surprising, and the philosophical as they chart a course for change in places unknown. They're about ideas and possibilities, not suffering, and millions are listening. Until a couple of years ago, Rob Fitzinger had a blog called Sardonic Catholic dad, focusing on family, faith, and frugality. Two of his hits, College on the Cheap, How That a Sardonic Family Does It, and How to Retire Early with 13 Kids. Skipping through some of this so I can just go on to other stuff because of our time. But they go on to describe how they've actually got two or three of these kids through a doctorate, and one of them is gone to a doctorate there in college, and how that they're using that now at this point, that even though he's not making excess, he finally has gotten to about $100,000 a year, but they're putting about $3,000 a month now into assets. In other words, not just saving, but they're creating rivers to increase. The adage that the poor gets poorer and the rich get richer, that is so true in so many different aspects. It grieves me. I mean, it really does grieve me, and this is part of the classes. I don't put them down, but when I see young people, when I see families, when I see ethnic groups try to do things that they're not capable of doing, that they don't have, and a lot of times people will be rewarding themselves for something that they, when I, okay, let me put it like this. I'll just put it in just plain English. And you guys, I don't think I have to build up my reputation to say that I don't believe any racism or bias in me. But I watch our Hispanic family, and I have a Hispanic family here. When I watch our Hispanic family through the years, I have watched and I have performed through the years several, and oftentimes performed the celebration for the 15th birthday, the quinceañera, and I would watch families, and this is just an example, that just absolutely did not have, and they would spend $5,000 or God only knows, $10,000. I'm not running that down. That's a good celebration if you want to have that celebration. But when you spend that money and you can hardly keep the lights going, that's foolishness. That's absolute foolishness gone to seed. And families will spend thousands of dollars on Christmas and thousands of dollars on birthdays and thousands of dollars on things, and then try to figure out where they're going to get their next month paycheck, because they feel like, I deserve this. I've been going through it. Listen, if you'll use wisdom, you can create wealth and you can still have those kind of things, but you can't cheat yourself and you can't put yourself in perilous positions because you want to keep up a tradition, or you want to show somebody that you love them. Christmas is wonderful. We've probably spent way too much based on our income. We do set a budget. We say we're not going to go over this budget. We fudge a little bit sometimes, but it's just the way that the parents taught their kids. Rich parents will inevitably raise future rich people, and poor parents will usually inevitably just create the same thing, or middle class the same way. And the priorities in which, well, I deserve this. Would you like to just, how about eating some PBJs? For a while, if it takes 2 or 3 years to pay off that credit card and also try to increase, let me just say this. This is way down in my notes, and we're not even really going exactly with the notes right now. maybe this isn't your situation. Maybe you don't have any credit card debts, or maybe it's just you have several debts. I was thinking about this when I heard this millionaire years ago, and he's not the rich dad, poor dad guy that I'm talking about, but he was talking about how that he was right on pending bankruptcy, and he was praying about it, and he knew that wasn't the way he wanted to go, and he had all of these bills, boom, 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 boom. And now this'll work if your bills are, you know, $50,000, $100,000, blah blah blah, and your income is somewhere in that area where you're trying to pay all that, or if you've got a stack of bills that you're paying $20, $30, $50, $75, $10, you know, all those different. He stayed up all night. He was praying and praying, and the Lord gave him wisdom. And I don't know how he said it, but I'm just thinking about now how I would convey it. It was like a Pac-Man mentality. How do you begin to gobble those things up? And the Lord said, do this. And he said, you got all those payments. You know, you got, okay, and I don't know what they were. I can't remember. But let's just say, just for example, he had $50 and a monthly, $75, $100, $200, on and on and on. Maybe he had 25 of them. He said, you're paying all of those monthly things. Just you're sending out the minimal amount because that's all you have to give presently, is to pay out, you know, those things. And you need to pay those minimal amounts, of course, he said, to stay ahead so that, you know, your credit doesn't go bad. But he said the wisdom was this. He said, anything extra, anything, instead of just meeting the minimal, you got to go ahead and meet the minimal, of course. But he said, anything extra, anything that you can get your hands on that comes in, go to the bottom rung first. In other words, whatever one of those debts, let's say you had 10 debts, and the debts were ranged from anywhere from $50,000 or $25,000, let's say that's the top end, and then you had some that was like $5,000 and $3,000 and, you know, $2,000, and you're paying a percentage based on how much that debt is, what the minimal amount is. He said, go to the lowest ones first. Keep doing the minimal payment for all of them. Go to the lowest ones first and begin to knock them off. In other words, go to the bottom. Okay, this, I only owe $350 on this debt, okay? And what you're paying? I'm paying $20 a month, okay? Well, when that, anything extra you can get, you don't apply it towards that $50,000. Don't apply it towards that. Go to that low line, the lowest one, apply it towards that, and get that one paid off. As soon as that one gets paid off, then you got 20 extra or 25 extra dollars to go after the next one, the next littlest one. And the next littlest one might be, you know, $45 a month. Well, then you start applying that 25 extra, keep paying what you were paying, and then add that 25 on top of it. Don't take that 25 and go apply it to the 50. Take that 25 and apply it to the next one. As soon as that next one gets paid off, then you got, you know, 45 and 25. You combine those. Now, don't spend it. Don't go and spend it. Once you get it, don't spend it. That just does away with the whole premise of the whole thing. Once you get that little extra, then you got two. What it is, you get the idea? It's creating an inertia. And then you knock off three, bottom line of three, whatever. So we might have been paying $100 a month. So now you got $150. You apply it to the next one. You're sending the minimum payment plus an extra $150, and then you're just knocking that off. And then after a while, you get that ball rolling, and you get half your debts paid. Now you got an extra $500 a month or more that you're, or however, and you go after them. You go out, I'm going after you. I got this one paid. I'm going. If you just divide it all up and just try to keep people happy, you'll never get them all paid. You got to keep people happy until you get the inertia rolling. And then when you get the inertia rolling, just start clicking them off, clicking them off, clicking them off. Apply the strength of the last one paid to the next debt. Does that make sense? This is incredible, and it works. It really does work. Hallelujah. So I would encourage you. I would extremely encourage you, even if you've got really good economic sense, to buy the book, $10. It's, you just go online. I don't necessarily have time to sit down and read something, but I can, excuse me, I can sit and listen, or I can drive. We did a lot of hours driving this week when we were going someplace. We just I put it through the Bluetooth and I was listening to it, and it was like, wow, this makes sense. It really does. It really does make sense. Now this is how prosperity works. I'm going to advertise the book a little bit more. The one dad would say things like this, we can't afford this. That was his natural poor dad. The rich dad that he started hanging around would say things like this, how can we afford it? And what he said was this, the one dad would put his way of thinking would put your brain to sleep. In other words, you just dismiss it. We can't afford that. So no, son, don't even start thinking about that. We don't. Our budget will never. He said the other dad was like, the greatest power you have. Now, we know our floor is the Holy Ghost. But let's not over-spiritualize anything. The Holy Ghost will come on us and anoint our brains. He doesn't expect us to be numbskulls. And so the rich dad would say, look, the greatest power you have is what's between your ears. It's not can we afford it, it's how can we afford it. What can we do? Let's think. And he said a lot of his time was spent contemplating, and it's amazing the first business that these little guys had. It's just incredible how that they used certain things, and I hope you read it. The one dad said, you know what? I'll never be rich because I got all you kids. The other dad says, I've got to become rich because I got all you kids. You know, I got all you kids, so I got to be rich. I got to find a way. And he found a way. Part of that was through frugalness. Of course, as I'm looking at my notes, please listen. It's $10, best $10 you'll probably ever spend. I said that it would be a required reading for marriage counseling in the future. Being frugal is a building blocks for prosperity, and let's just look at a few scriptures. Let's go to Proverbs 3. You're right there at Proverbs 1, if you're still, you know, got your word open. But Proverbs 3, verse 13, says this: Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and what? Honor. Now, this guy, the rich dad, these sessions are not all about this book, but I'm using it this week in particular. But this guy was basically, he was saying wisdom is just like that. If you get wisdom, if you figure it all out, if you figure out how to create wealth, it's more important. Most people are saying, man, if I could just make a bigger paycheck, you know, if I could just get more, if I could just get a bigger paycheck. Usually what happens with most people, and I'd say probably 90%, the more they get, the more they begin to spend. And they just stay at an even level. If you're only making 20, you're spending 20. If you start making 40,000 a year, you'll start spending 40,000 a year. If you I hesitate, but I want to kind of entice you to read this. He said, if you're ever going to be rich, you got to pay yourself first. You got to pay yourself first. And he said, what people say, what, don't pay your bills? No. He's not advocating don't pay your bills. Pay your bills. You have to pay your bills. But rich people learn that if they're ever going to be financially independent, they understand, look, how much of what I've got coming in can I possibly pay to myself? In other words, invest it, save it, invest it, because it's going to eventually. And if you look to the day and you say, well, I don't have, if it's just dime for dime, you may be in that place. It may be dime for dime for you. Then there's only two choices for you. You're going to have to figure out, is there anything? There may not be. You may be down to just bare carpet as far as being frugal. There are many cases. There are many things that you can. Being frugal means cut. You know, I don't need that. You know, or I've been spending that, and I can cut that, and I'm going to take that, and I'm going to save it. I'm going to invest it. But if you're down to where you're just as frugal as you possibly can be, the only other thing too is you begin to confess and agree for an increase. That you begin to increase, that but this guy, he really takes you out of the realms. The main thing is this: is rich people and prosperous people begin to learn to think. You can be lazy in your body, and you can be lazy with your brain too. You can just be lazy, and I think a lot of my not being prosperous, some of it may be just been lazy. You know, I'm not a lazy person. I don't sit on the couch, but you got to use your brain, you know, and God will anoint your brain, and God will tell you how to do it. And then, of course, he told me there are certain perimeters that I'm supposed to follow as far as not getting too involved in other stuff. Listen, we do things around here kind of the hard way, and I don't like to make it the hard way. We took away, like in tithing, years ago we started teaching. We started following this guy named Dave Roberson, God bless us, and we learned that you don't extort people, you don't take money from them by putting fear on them, and you don't take money from people by putting greed on them, like offering them great things. So we learn to take fear and greed off of people. But I'll tell you what, most churches function with fear and greed. That's how they get people to pay their weekly, like even a poor person, if you're afraid that God's going to take what you do have, you'll give. You will give. And if you, so then we took that away, and then we took away greed, like, you're gonna have everything if you just give. So we don't do that. And then, so we live by faith. You're living by faith. We're all living by faith. And even if you've got money, you're living by faith because you know who your supply is and your source. I had a good friend of mine. I've got a couple of good friends. One of them is one of my best friends. He's got a very prosperous school, and he's a church. He's on the council of a world ministry. He's in more countries of the world than I can count most of the time, but he's got a school. And then I got another friend that's a good friend, a lifelong friend. He's a pastor, and he was telling me the other day, and he was trying to help me. He really was. He wasn't pushing, but he's trying to help me, and he's telling me the amount of money that's in private schools. And I was shocked. I just shocked. He told me the amount of kids they had and the amount what was coming in annually. I was shocked. And I was like, my God. That's okay if that's the way the Lord tells you to do it. And you say, well, that wouldn't work in Immokalee because all the under... No. Actually, it works even better if you've got underprivileged kids, because he said they've got government subsidies that'll pay for, if they can't afford it, they'll pay for those kids. And he was telling me what it was. My Lord, I mean, you're talking about amazing with a handful, hardly, not a whole lot of kids around here. We could just pay this thing off and have $200,000 or $300,000 a year in the bank. I mean, it's crazy the amount of money that is in education now. But that's not where we're supposed to be. The Lord has called us to revival. And he's called us to pray. And right now, we can't get distracted with anything. We can't get distracted with anything. So we're living by faith. You're living by faith. And I'm saying the foundation is what we were saying from the beginning. Develop your confessions. begin to speak those confessions. I'd say if you're really adamant about prosperity, you need to get 4 or 5 verses. Don't get too many because it'll wear your brain out. But get 4 or 5 verses, and almost every day, I mean, just as much as you possibly can, rehearse those before the Lord, worship the Lord, and then get an education. Get an academic education. Well, you don't have to go to night school, and you don't have to go online. One of the educations, I'm telling you, if you listen to a 6-hour course, you're going to learn so much. Next week, I might open up the door to questions. I might open up the door to telling you more about some of the easier things that you can invest in on a very small income. Proverbs 8. Let me see, what is that verse? Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, and durable riches and righteousness. See, the Lord wants us to have durable. Wisdom brings durable riches. Any bad mistake that I've ever made and lost, when I thought the Lord was with me, the bottom line is just Satan got in there some way, and he might have been there in the God might have given me instruction or whatever. But whether we follow it out, see, the Lord wants you to have durable. He wants you to have durable. And durable means lifelong. It means lifelong. And it means, and this is what this guy said. He said, look, if you learn how, in other words, if it ever clicks, even if something comes through and just takes everything, if you learn how, you can get it back, all of it or most of it, in a reasonable amount of time. In other words, it's all what you learn. It's not just getting rich quick. It's not just getting a bigger paycheck, but it's really learning the fundamental aspects of it. Hallelujah. Anybody getting anything? Good. Just looking. So I want to reiterate this. Not just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to prosper. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to get healed. You got to apply these principles, and you got to apply the Word of God. Parents, school doesn't teach you prosperity or how to, you learn to read, write, and you can learn the foundations to use that, but it never teaches you, when you listen to this book, you'll understand, I never heard that in school, never heard that in school. And it is done, it comes from, like I said, this man was, he only went to the 8th grade, but he learned how money works. So, and this guy said, this guy told them, he said, look, you boys, I want you to go to college. I want you to get your education. You need that because it'll help you. Because he wasn't trying to make something about not getting education. That's important. But it's really how it works. And parents usually don't know how to sit down with their kids and tell them how true prosperity applies to lifelong principles for the duration of things. Hallelujah. Several more things that we could probably go into, but we've been trying to keep it relatively right on time for that hour. So we'll be back with more next week. But I think even those simple things like how to pay off bills, that's important for you. Read Proverbs at least one chapter a day. Get your confessions and start doing that. Get the book. Read the book or listen to the book. You may say, this is more than I need, but there may be more. In the midst of more than you need, there will be the simple things that will begin to really help you. So, amen. Appreciate all of you being here. Father, thank you for this time. We praise you and we thank you that Immokalee is in revival, and that, Lord, that we go forth by your grace, and we just pray that your blessings will be upon all of these, and there will be a prosperity, Lord, over their lives, and they will attain to wisdom and counsel and the wisdom of the Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So you know how iBooks go on iBooks. You can buy the book, and you can just download or listen to it. So is that how it was, Candy? iBooks. Okay. God bless you.